You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Welcome, citizens, to this day in history with Benjamin J. Goldson.
Yes, this day in history takes us back to 1963 for a police crackdown on civil rights activists in Birmingham, Alabama. Led by Reverend Martin Luther King, the marchers had attempted to challenge legal segregation in the Deep South, a state of affairs which had existed for decades.
Oldest Southern problem, born 300 years ago with the introduction of slavery, is that of the Negro. Today in Dixie, there are almost 9 million colored, for the most part still economically insecure. Though here, as everywhere, the Negro finds himself in the lowest of all income levels, he and his race have made a brave struggle to better their lot. Since slavery was abolished, Negro illiteracy has rapidly decreased, and today more than 80% of the colored population has had some schooling. Greatest struggle of the Negro has been against the ravages of disease. Due to the conditions of poverty in which he lives, the incidence of syphilis and malaria, pellagra and tuberculosis is high. A familiar sight, the length and breadth of Dixie is the rural Negro, and the shack which is his home. His chief blessing is living in a land where the climate is moderate. With an income which averages but a few dollars per year, he clothes his family. To feed them, he must depend principally upon whatever he can raise on his patch of ground. Proof that the Negro, given proper food and medical care, can improve himself is found in the records of 88 colored CCC camps. To many a family whose pleasures are few and primitive, there is no greater occasion than Sunday meeting, no greater pleasure than dressing up in going to meeting clothes. For the Southern Negro lives in the faith that no matter what his lot on earth, there is a better life ahead. Second only to Sunday meeting is the colored community's Saturday night. Out of the Southern Negro's song and dance have come melody and rhythm for the entire world. Despite all his poverty and his handicaps, the Negro is proud of the advancement his race is making in the South. Today, 12,000 colored students are enrolled in 80 colleges of their own. Honored and respected by both white and black is the late, great Booker T. Washington, the Negro leader and educator who first brought hope to his people. From Tuskegee, the institute which he founded, are emerging new leaders of a race which scarcely three generations ago was bound in servitude. Here today, the famed scientist Dr. George Washington Carver carries on his research. Born a slave, Dr. Carver has made important discoveries which are being used to the benefit not only of his own race, but the industry and agriculture of all the South.
That was part one of This Day in History. Part two will continue after the break.
Kendrick Lamar is coming to Spark Arena July 19th. And now, due to popular demand, a new show July 20th. Don't miss Kendrick Lamar, Spark Arena, July 19th and 20th. Tickets on sale now from livenation.co.nz.
May the 4th is International Southern Young Blunt Day, and to celebrate, 95BFM and Villa Maria Estate are teaming up for great times and great wines at the Lula Inn.
Featuring a performance from legendary vocalist Sandy Mill and BFM DJs Tina Turntables and Automatic.
Plus, it's absolutely free.
If you want to win tickets to our exclusive catered BFM pre-party, then just stay tuned to Breakfast, Morning Glory and Drive all this week.
But you've got to have a B-card. Get yours at 95bfm.com/signup.
Want to pursue your academic passions? After some high-level career opportunities? About to finish your undergrad and terrified of the world outside? Wonderful! May 21st to 25th is Postgrad Week at the University of Auckland, and it's packed with information sessions and opportunities for one-on-one advice. Get into the nitty-gritty of postgraduate study and find answers for all your difficult questions. Postgrad Week at the University of Auckland, May 21st to 25th. Register now at postgradweek.ac.nz.
At this radio station, we do our utmost to abide by the Broadcasting Standards Authority and their rules and guidelines. If you seriously think we've crossed the line on air, give us a call on 309 4831 within 20 working days of the broadcast date and tell us about it. We'll be able to help you out and tell you the procedure if you wish to make a formal complaint to the Broadcasting Standards Authority. Fuck knuckles, cock and piss. Balls. Thank you.
We now return to this day in history. When we left off, the African-American civil rights movement had gathered pace, especially after the Supreme Court ruled in 1954 that the school system across America had to be desegregated. In Little Rock, Arkansas, 9 black students had been enrolled in what had been a white-only school, but were initially blocked by the state militia.
Little Rock, Arkansas, and the first phase of the trouble. The white population are determined to prevent colored students from going to the school their own children attend. Picketing the school, they clash with the police. The law of the land decrees integration of white and colored schoolchildren. But racial feeling still runs high in the southern states of America, as shown by these pictures taken by an amateur cameraman. The law of the land is rejected. A near riot developed, so the police made a number of arrests among the ringleaders of the white pickets. Later, the central high school, Little Rock Storm Center, was sealed off by orders of the governor, who called out the state National Guard. Colored youngsters arrived under safe conduct by the guards. But no sooner had they arrived than they were off again. Arkansas had evidently decided to make its own laws on the subject of integration. Any colored person anywhere near the school came in for violent abuse, even if they now escaped physical violence. Phase two, President Eisenhower sends 500 troops of the 101st Airborne Division of the United States Army to Little Rock by night. They are to keep order and to see that the law of the land is obeyed. White and colored students to go to the same school. The federal government clamps down on Arkansas. What Governor Forbes proposes to do next, apart from comparing Little Rock with Paris under the Nazis and Budapest under the Russians, remains to be seen.
By the 1960s, the movement had further escalated, with Reverend King feeling emboldened to lead a march through the heart of the Deep South, Alabama, where, on this day in history, 1963, local police from Birmingham City attacked demonstrators with dogs and fire hoses.
I'm very happy to be able to announce that we have come today to the climax of a long struggle for justice, freedom, and human dignity in the city of Birmingham. I say the climax and not the end, for though we have come a long way, that is still a strenuous path before us, and some of it is yet uncharted. Nevertheless, it can now be said that after a great struggle, this day is clearly the moment of a great victory.
On the face of it, at least, the agreement between Negroes and leading white citizens of Birmingham, which the Reverend Martin Luther King announced this afternoon, did appear to be a victory for the month-long campaign of demonstrations he has been leading. It calls for the progressive desegregation of public facilities from lunch counters to restrooms, for better job opportunities for Negroes, for the establishment of new channels of communication between the races, and for the release of those of the 2,400 demonstrators imprisoned, many of them children, who were still in jail. But the lame duck city administration has denounced the agreement. Still, both the Negro and the white negotiators insist tonight that they think it will be implemented, and new demonstrations have been called off until the city acts. Tonight, Attorney General Robert Kennedy said that there would be more racial crises like the one in Birmingham, but the lessons learned there can be used to solve future problems between whites and Negroes. The lesson, Kennedy said, is that the agreement was reached because the people were prepared to sit down and work things out. But the wounds have not healed, and the memories of what may have been this country's most significant collision of the races are both fresh and bitter. The climactic events of the past week in Birmingham are the subject of tonight's eyewitness report. Your correspondent, Charles Collingwood.
Eyewitness, the big news of the week. Tonight's witness, breakthrough in Birmingham. Brought to you by L&M, the filter cigarette for people who really like to smoke. L&M in pack or box.
This is Birmingham, the South's mightiest industrial city as the world knew it this week. These are the front lines of the battle between Dr. Martin Luther King's Negro Disciples of Nonviolence and the uniformed forces of Birmingham led by Commissioner Eugene Bull Connor, who says, "We were trying to be nice to them, but they won't let us be." The Negro leaders say this will lay the whole issue before the conscience of the community and the nation. The scene is last Saturday. The sights and sounds filmed and recorded as they happened. The place is near the 16th Street Baptist Church, the starting point for Negro demonstrations.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.